May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. At the most recent clergy conference in our diocese, our diocesan bishop, Andy Doyle, said, "You cannot take mercy out of the Bible." He was referring to the outrage over the Bishop of Washington, D.C.'s, Bishop Marianne Buddy's sermon in January at the National Prayer Service at Washington National Cathedral, attended by the President and the Vice President, in which she said, quote, "May I ask you to have mercy, Mr. President, on those in our communities whose children fear that their parents will be taken away." And she asked for mercy, and there was a lot of outrage. Again, as our diocesan bishop said, there is no way to take mercy out of the Bible. You cannot take mercy out of the Bible. The outrage was misplaced. For mercy, tender mercy, is at the center of Christ's mission and Christ's reign. At mercy, tender mercy, is at the center of Christian life. One of the alternate readings for today is the psalm text. I love Psalm 46, so I didn't change it. But in some churches, they're reading Canticle 16, which is the song of Zechariah. And two of the verses from that canticle are some of the most beautiful in all of the Gospel of Luke. And there are so many beautiful quotes and phrases in the Gospel of Luke. Zechariah sung, "Because of the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to shine on those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." What a beautiful sign of hope. What a beautiful confession of hope. What a beautiful legacy of hope to leave for each one of us, generations of Christians who stand in this praise of God's mercy. Today is a relatively new feast day in the Episcopal, in the churches. It's the Christ the King Sunday. We now call it, to separate ourselves from the monarchies of the world and to put the emphasis on Christ's reign being completely different and the kingdom of God being completely different from the kingdoms that have existed in history. We call it as well Reign of Christ Sunday. And it is a reminder to us church folk that it is vital that we get away from any idea of Christ aligned with any type of system of serfdom and elite, any type of monarchy in the history books or in our times, because as the gospel shows us today, Christ stands, hangs with the crucified of history. The kingdom of Christ, the reign of Christ, is with those hurting in this world. And for those of you who know anything about the theology of the divine right of kings, it was a scourge on humanity that cannot be overstated. And there's other theologies that are twisted into a triumphalism that would have you believe that Christ is not the King of mercy or the King of peace or the King of love, but rather a King that dominates, a King of power over and not power with. But the gospel writes that image today, writes that mistake today. This day was established 100 years ago to remind us, as Pope Francis did in a homily in 2021, that Christ's kingdom is of love. That the king, that Christ is the king of the kingdom of those who give their lives for the salvation of others. The kingdom not of ones who would take all the power for themselves, but give their lives as a sacrifice of love. And call us to sacrifice for love and dignity of others in our midst as well. Not to look away from the pain, but to enter with compassion, not with a conquering spirit, but with a compassion that transforms and heals and calls on the dawn from on high to break open those shadows of death in our world and in our lives. We see clearly in the gospel today where Christ not only reigns out of love, not only reigns with tender mercy, but he reigns from the cross in the midst of the suffering and the humiliated in his history. His reign unfolds from the places of hurt and needless cruelty to transform them with the power of mercy and love and community. In his book, The Principle of Mercy, Taking the Crucified People from the Cross, John Sobrino says, "I don't see how you can show love without being in solidarity with the victims of this world. And if you are in solidarity with the victims, I don't see how you can avoid the cross." The theology of the cross is the theology of love in our real world. And if we are to be citizens of the reign of Christ, we are called to enter our own pain with the hope of healing. We are called to enter the brokenness of this world with the hope of the power of tender mercy. And to see that the power of God's love overcomes the viciousness of hate that would keep us in fear and doubt. Gilberto A. Ruiz put it this way: "The salvation Jesus offers takes place through the cross, not apart from it." The writer Pearl Buck said it this way: "Our civilization will be judged by how it treats its lowly." Christ is a Lord that doesn't lord over. He breaks that image. Christ is a Lord that stands in the presence of the lowly. St. stands with you in your pain, stands with those who would be humiliated, and says that is not God's will. It is in the middle of cruelty and humiliation that Jesus says to those also suffering on the cross right next to him, today you will be with me in paradise. Imagine the pain he must be suffering. And the pain is not the point. The mercy is the point. But imagine the love to say that to someone who you do not know and who has been condemned. The criminal says that he deserved his condemnation, but we know that crucifixion is not, well, no one deserved crucifixion because it was cruel in a way that is unspeakable. So when Jesus said in the midst of that cruelty, today you will be with me in paradise, he spoke a word of hope, not just to those criminals, but to all of us who long for the fullness of God's reign and God's kingdom in the midst of this broken world that we and God love, in the midst of our broken lives, so that we may declare that God is with us and present, transforming whatever we're going through into a way of peace, teaching us how to walk the way of peace and usher in, maybe for just a few moments, and hopefully for all eternity, the way of peace. Today, he said to the criminals, you will be with me in paradise. Commentators observe that the word today appears at key points in Luke's gospel to describe the arrival of Jesus' salvation in the world. Its last occurrence in the gospel, according to Luke, occurs in our gospel today at the cross, from which Jesus' salvation becomes a reality to the others hanging on the cross and becomes a possibility to any of the lost and the shamed and the condemned. His reign is not a death-dealing system intent on punishment, but a paradise that today extends even to those whom those in power think don't deserve it. I often go to the poets for imagery. I love all kinds of poetry. And this poem I found by Denise Levertov is called To Live in the Mercy of God. And it has two very simple but powerful images about what it's like to live in the mercy of God. She writes, to live in the mercy of God is to lie back under the tallest, oldest trees, and see how far the stems rise before the ribs of shelter open. That is to live in the mercy of God, under the shelter. To live in the mercy of God is to float upheld as salt water upholds you. To live in the mercy of God is to float held once you dare to lift your feet. I also turn to the verses of a hymn we will sing today. It's not a triumphalist hymn necessarily, but it's a hymn that is one of the earliest Christian hymns still in common usage. Its roots date back to the 4th century. The hymn is "Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence." It's a hymn that invokes, the verses invoke the awe we are invited to have for the one who reigns in love and tender mercy, vanquishing the idea that cruelty is strength and chaos is leadership. Reminding us that compassion is strength and community and collaboration are leadership. I would love to quote all the verses, but I won't do that to y'all. I'm just going to quote the 3rd. Rank on rank, the host of heaven spreads its vanguard on the way. As the light of light descendeth from the realms of endless day, that the powers of hell may vanish as the darkness clears away. May Christ's tender mercy and powerful love continue to vanquish the crosses of suffering and oppression and injustice today, as well as in eternity and at the coming of the full kingdom of God on earth as in heaven. And may we, as those who have received his promise and salvation, who have received his healing and hope, work together with God's help to vanquish the powers of hell. Amen.